B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Football question for you. Will there be...
Great.
Will there be an open competition for starting quarterback during this training camp?
Yeah, as I said, every one of us has to go out and establish our level of performance in whatever our role or capacity is. So it's a new season. We've done some things in the spring, but this is really the start of football season in terms of the team building part here in training camp. So we all have a lot of work to do. That includes all of us. So until we go out and do anything, then it's pretty much a clean slate.
So a clean slate, including the quarterback situation as well?
Including the coaches and all the players.
All right, first camp practice open to the public tomorrow. Belichick addresses the media today. That's what you heard on the quarterback situation. Hour number two, Felger and Mast. Mast and Murray back in our Tom Fritari studios here in Dorchester. I'll give you my thought first. I feel like that constitutes movement, what Bill said there. I feel like that's movement. If you had asked me yesterday, how would he answer that question? I would have said, Cam's our starter. Cam's our starting quarterback, and everyone has to earn their spot and earn their job. But we're going in with Cam as a starter. This is what Bill Belichick said a couple months ago at the draft. He didn't say it's a clean slate for everybody. He said immediately Cam's a starter. Do you actually have the sound, Jimmy, from him at the draft?
Cam's our quarterback. Whatever time Jared or Mac, ready to, challenge and compete, then we'll see how that goes. But right now, for Mac, he's just got a lot of learning in front of him.
Bill, just going back to your comments off the top, you said that Cam's our quarterback. What exactly does that mean?
Just what I said.
Just that, if when you start practice, he'll be the first guy back there, that he's the starter. How long does that last for?
I don't know. Somebody would have to play better than he does.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Okay, but anyway, what's the date on that, Jimmy?
April 29th.
Okay, so April 29th, Cam's our starter until someone else plays better. Now here we are, July 20, whatever.
Yeah, 3 months later.
3 months later, and it's clean slate for everybody. I'm sorry, I feel like that's movement. I feel that's movement in the direction of Mac Jones. I don't know what that means ultimately, but I would have expected Bill to say, the status is quo. It's what it's been since we drafted Mac Jones. This is still Cam Newton's job, but everyone has to fight for their job or something along those lines. Instead, it's clean slate. So what? They're starting off on equal footing? That's movement. Sorry, that's movement as far as I'm concerned. What do you think?
So I want to believe that there's an open competition at quarterback. I want to believe it. And so I am choosing to believe it. I'm serious.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Well, when I heard it this morning, I went, Bill used to say that when Brady showed up. To open the clean slate for everybody. But this year is different.
Yeah, we knew it was bullcrap when he said with Brady.
Right, exactly. This is different. And he's got to protect Cam now because of the unknown. And the unknown is Mac Jones. So Cam needs to be protected. And he didn't protect him today. So I want to read into that and say, Jones has got a shot here. So I'm choosing to believe that. I still have my doubts that Bill will go through with it and start the season with a rookie quarterback. But I am choosing to believe today that we have a legitimate quarterback competition in camp.
Yeah, talk is cheap. I'll believe it when I see it. But there is definitely movement because given how stubborn and rigid he's been at this position with this particular player, Cam Newton, since he got here last year, you never really heard anything like this. So maybe what they've seen in these 3 months or started at that little mini camp is that the kid did play better. He did at least say that back in April. Well, if someone else plays him, someone plays better. And the kid apparently did look pretty good at the end of that minicamp.
You know what a huge variable is for me too, Mike? Is that Bill knew we would react this way. Bill knew that, when Brady was a quarterback and Bill said, everybody comes in having to win a job, he knew we would look at it and go, that's bull crap. And nobody believed it. But now, with the circumstance being what it is, he knows we're looking for a reason to talk up Jones. Part of me thinks he almost wanted it today. Like, that's what he wanted us to react this way. I have to believe now there's a chance. And this goes hand in hand with what we talked about on Friday with Stidham. Once they put Stidham on the PUP list, the indication was from that they wanted to give reps to Mac Jones early on in camp.
Well, that's what you understood, right?
On Friday. Yeah, on Friday. That the understanding, or that's how I had heard it, that they put Stidham's not hurt. They put him on PUP because they wanted to give the reps to Mac Jones and see what he looks like here head-to-head with Newton at the early part of camp. Now he comes out and says this. I think Bill is trying to make a public spectacle of the competition.
Okay, spectacle.
Spectacle's the wrong word.
Strong.
Right, make it public that he is open to a competition.
I just think movement. I just think we've had movement.
Cam's our quarterback.
Okay, so again, that's April 29th, you said. Cam's our quarterback. And what did he say today? Clean slate. Okay, that's movement. Like, that's, you know, he easily could have said today, Cam's our quarterback, but every job has to be earned. You know, he could have still covered himself, but I think he's moved off that thing. We'll see how long it lasts, and we'll see if it's really, you know, if he's really meant to be public with it or not, or just what he's just speaking the truth, and this is what it is. But also, you know, when we played the full comment from April, he said, well, Cam's the guy until Mac or Jared Stidham prove that they're better, and he included Stidham in that analysis in the draft comment, right? Well, he just shut Stidham's ass down last week. Now he's not even in the conversation.
Correct.
So now Stidham's out of the conversation, and it's not Cam's job. It's a clean slate. That is movement, and that's good. That's good.
That's great.
Good for everybody. Okay, I hope Bill follows through with it. I hope Bill's serious about that, and we'll see where that goes. And we'll get another indication tomorrow when we actually go out there and see how they're repping, even though they're not going to be in pads for any time soon, apparently, days anyway, into next week. We still get a little, you know, things to read into. So I definitely read into that comment. I'm sorry, I do. Do tie it in at all to that kind of whopper of a headline yesterday from Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk. Again, you guys were off, so your first chance to weigh in on it. But Florio wrote that per a league source, multiple current teammates believe Newton simply isn't the guy he once was. Which is pretty much, you know, that's all I need to say right there, especially because the narrative last year was part of the reason Bill stuck with Cam so much is because if he benched Cam, the guys in the locker room did not trust Stidham, and they liked Cam, and it was the locker room was part of the consideration last year why Bill was so stubborn with Cam Newton. Now we're hearing the day before he reports that per a league source, multiple current teammates believe Newton simply isn't the guy he once was. So do you tie these two things together?
Oh, definitely I tie them together. Yes, I absolutely do. And I wonder where that comment comes from, too. Like, you know, my theory on it is McDaniels. That way, you know, we've theorized here that McDaniels likes the kid. McDaniels wants a kid who can play quarterback, who can actually throw. But Bill's been protecting Newton, and so they're sort of divided on it. And then as, you know, minicamp went along and the summer went along, that McDaniels was digging in further on Cam Newton, and Bill was holding the line on, I'm sorry, McDaniels was digging in further on Mac Jones. Bill was holding the line on Cam Newton. And then now all of a sudden it comes out that there are actually guys on the team that don't think Cam is what he used to be. Well, how the hell does that come out right before the start of camp?
Yeah, and what I love is it's per a league source, multiple current teammates. So it's not like Florio said, according to multiple current teammates, he didn't speak directly to the players.
No, it's a source.
He spoke to someone who knows how the players feel.
Right.
You know, Stewart had a good one yesterday, Drew Rosenhaus. You know,
right.
That's Florio's guy. He represents a half dozen Patriots players. That would be an easy one for Mike Florio not to call a guy out on his sourcing. But I also do believe of what you said there, that there is, as Chris Gasper called, a little bit of a tug of war between what Josh wants and what Bill wants. And I don't think Josh is all that shy with talking. And, you know, it would reek to me of him as well, that there is a little bit of a campaign here back and forth.
I love it. Oh, my God, I love it. Because for the life of me, I didn't think that it would be like this at all going into camp. I thought Bill would draw the lines very clearly and wouldn't allow for the littlest gray area.
Yeah, but he's still one of Bill's underlings in the grand scheme of things is McDaniels. So what if when I read this, I immediately thought it's one of the high priced free agents. It's one of the tight ends, maybe both. Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, and that's who Florio talked to was Rosenhaus or their agent. That's the source. Because at least Bill, I think, would be more willing to acquiesce to all these to some guys he just spent all this money for that they now get here and are like, you're not really giving me a good chance to win with Cam Newton. How about the other kid? It looks like he can actually throw. And they're well within their right to feel that way. Because I'm sure that some of those guys look at Cam Newton and think, this guy, he's washed up. He's not going to give us the best chance to win.
I don't know where it's coming from, but it's coming from somewhere, and there's a reason why we're hearing it now.
And that's the part that interests me the most. You know, who, where and when and how did this come out? Like, who's this from and why? You know, and I think it is tied into the story. So we are off and running on Patriots camp and the quarterback competition, and today was, and the last couple days, little dribs and drabs, and it continues tomorrow with on-the-field stuff. How do you feel about it? You think Bill's being knocked off his perch on Cam Newton at all? Have we got indications that there's been movement already in this regard? 617-779-0985. Mix it in with your calls from our previous topics, and we'll go right to you after this.
Boston's home for sports. Failure has 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Of course.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz.
One big kindergarten classroom.
Really is. Just slinging poo at each other.
Daycare for grown-ups.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, the Patriots were one of the teams that inquired about him. And then, of course, they took Mac Jones. Four of those eight teams took quarterbacks in the first round. I think that Miami would take him in a heartbeat in a trade, but I don't think the Texans are interested in Tua Tagovailoa. I know Philadelphia, which has two number ones and could have three if Carson Wentz stays healthy. They're not going to trade all three in 1 year, but they got Jalen Hurts 1-3 as a rookie. Would they rather have Deshaun Watson? Of course they would. Denver has been trying to get Watson, Rodgers. The Broncos think they're built. They're a quarterback away from competing with the Chiefs. I don't know about that. Vic Fangio's in the last year of his contract. He's got a new GM in George Payton. You guys know how that goes when a new GM comes and wants his guy. So the Broncos have been very interested. The Panthers were for a while. Then they got Sam Darnold. The best time to trade Watson would be before next year's draft. What if Daniel Jones doesn't work out in his third season with the Giants, or Jared Goff bombs out with the Lions? They both have two number one picks, but I don't think it'll wait that long. I think they want to trade him. He wants out. He is, will a team make them a legitimate offer with unprecedented legal issues?
Before we get back to your calls, again, these guys were out yesterday, so they didn't have a chance to weigh in on some of the news across the NFL, which includes Deshaun Watson reporting to Houston, Aaron Rodgers reporting to Green Bay. I guess what's going to be a reworked kind of agreement with the Packers. I don't know what else you want to put on that list, but that was John McClain, Houston Chronicle, saying that the Patriots were one of the teams that inquired on Deshaun Watson prior to the allegations coming out against him for sexual assault and the misconduct there with the massages and that, you know, that whole mess. That the Patriots were one of the teams that reached out to Houston on that, and then they drafted Mac Jones, said John McClain. But he said he was one. The Patriots were one of the eight who were in on Watson. So you got a thought on Watson, Rodgers, anything like this?
Okay, so I would say first on Watson, I absolutely believe that they inquired. I think they probably thought, let's take a shot, see what the price is, particularly if it was around draft time, because I think that's the time you would say, okay, if Houston's going to be motivated to move him, this is when it's going to happen. What's it going to take, and is it something we'd consider? And if the price came down, maybe it's worth it. I also think that after watching Watson play the way he played last year against them, that Bill might have been inclined to say, this kid's starting to get it. He's better than I thought. I mean, I think Bill went into that game saying, this kid's not accurate enough to beat us, and he was. So maybe that changed Bill's opinion of the player. Like, I sort of tie it all together. Now, do I think it was ever close? No, because I don't think Houston was going to give him away. Okay, and as for Rodgers, I think Green Bay blew this. Boy, did they blow it. So let me get this straight. The guy was holding out because he wasn't going to come back. You said you wouldn't trade him. Now he comes back, but he's only going to be there for a year and then he can walk?
No, they have him for two more years. But I guess there's an agreement that they'll do everything they can to facilitate a trade after the season, but they're not bound to it. They only killed the last year of the deal. He was signed for two more after this. So it was this and two more. apparently, I nothing's been, you know, formally announced, I don't think. But the last reporting I saw was that they'll void the last year, 2023, but 2022 remains on the books. And there's either a handshake or a verbal agreement that they'll do their best to trade him after this upcoming season.
Okay, I still think they blew it. I think they had more value with him if they had moved him now.
Agreed.
And so, you know, this was the time to
before
do
the
it.
Draft. Before the draft was the
yes.
time to do it. Stewart believes Cleveland offered them Baker Mayfield and 3 first-round picks. And you're not going to get something like that now. And so they absolutely blew it.
Yeah, you had more leverage before when he was signed, and you know you could send him somewhere that was good for him, and you'd get something back for it. Now they're going to get less.
How's this guy going to be this year, too? I mean, how do you think he's going to be? You know, but inside the building, inside the walls.
Oh, a pill.
Oh,
even
my
more
God.
Than usual.
I mean, I'm sure he'll be fine with his teammates. You know, I never heard of any problem there, and I'd be surprised if he took it to that level. And I guess he doesn't hold anything against LaFleur, but I don't know. But the front office, the building, the organization, like, you know how this guy is. So, like, what's that going to be like?
I'm just now curious to see what the repercussions are going to be throughout the league, because he just put them over a barrel completely. Telling them, hey, look, you know you're going to have a PR nightmare without me this year, so you got to bring me back. Oh, and I'm going to leave you next year. So what's this going to lead to next? Will we get this out of Russell Wilson next season? Who's going to be the next quarterback to act like this and get their way? Because he just proved you can do it.
I think it might have already happened with Russell Wilson. Like, part of me thinks that that's what this whole thing this past year was. Fine, I'll give you one more. Then I'm out. So get your ducks in a row. Get your crap together, because then I'm out of here too. So and Murray, you might be right. Like, but I feel like the situations aren't all that dissimilar.
But it's going to get worse. Like,
I agree.
The NBAification of the NFL with player movement like this, and them dictating the terms. This was just this with what happened with Aaron Rodgers. It's just going
to
get worse.
But the thing, to Maz's point, the Packers did have it in their hands.
Yes.
They could have controlled the situation. Get out in front of it. You saw this coming with Rodgers. You had to have known how he was going to react. Not just by how he handled himself last year, but just given what his nature.
No, they underestimated it, Mike. His spite and pettiness,
oh
they
my
thought,
God.
Ah, no, it's not going to be that big of a deal. Where's he going to go? He'll come back. They underestimated how petty and spiteful that guy is.
So get out in front of it. Trade him on your terms. Get the most for him. And if you have to take a step back year, you'll have to take a step back year. You're the Green Bay Packers. You've been around for 120 years. You'll be around for 120 more. You'll be fine. You drafted the next guy. Maybe he's not ready, so maybe you'd have to bridge it with someone else. And just there'd be a little wonkier of a transition than you were expecting. But be that as it may, you had control of the situation and you lost it.
Oh, yeah. Tail has wagged the dog the whole time there. The whole time. And you, as a part owner, I blame you.
And just as an aside,
you should be ashamed of yourself.
I am.
Have you seen what he looks like with the Instagram model, giant sunglasses, and the corny t-shirt? He's just a corny tryhard, just as a guy. Like, phenomenal talent, pain in the ass, but just as a dude, oh, God, it's so tired with him. Like, stop trying to be funny guy, Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, so, well, that's my problem. Your problem is you have no one who can play. But is there hope? Is there hope? Is there movement from Bill Belichick? He said it at the end of April at the draft, Cam's our starting quarterback until someone plays better than him. Now the first day of training camp, he's asked about the competition, and he says clean slate. That, to me, constitutes movement. We'll see where we go from there. So we've got that and some Bruins chatter on the board. In fact, Adam in the car on David Krejci coming back. Go ahead, Adam.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
So, Felger, I think you're dead wrong when you said earlier that you'd be okay with Krejci walking. I think you're dead wrong on that one. I think that without him, at least for this coming year, they are cooked at center, because Charlie Coyle was awful last year. And even when he's been playing well historically, he can't move up to a second line and play effectively. I don't think Studnicka's ready to play center yet. I think he breaks in as a third-line winger this coming year. And they have no one else in the system. Frederick is nowhere close to a second-line caliber player. So I think at least for this year, you need him back. I think you're dead wrong on that. And just in general, I know there's still time, but I'm concerned on how they're, you know, approaching the offseason, because this was supposed to be the year. Bunch of money coming off the books. They got a ton of cap right now. And all their top targets on defense are gone. Suter, Martinez, Oleksiak, all gone. So I know there's still time, but I'm concerned. So those are my thoughts. Thanks,
okay,
guys.
Okay, Adam. I mean, I agree with most of what you're saying. I'm not telling you they're set up at center if Krejci leaves. I'm just telling you, I think even without Krejci, defense is more of a priority. Let me put it to you like that. I think if they did nothing, and Krejci walked, it's possible they could patch it together at center. Possible. I think they are so exposed right now and back, it's a much more glaring thing. So that was sort of my point. To me, I'm still prioritizing D, whether Krejci's here or not. And I do think they have to evolve at the roster, and they have to move on at the roster. Is there a bridge guy? Is there, you know, I don't know if Getzlaff is the guy, but is there a veteran center that can come in and play for a year or two and sort of bridge that gap? I mean, Krejci's not long here either way. You know, he's only got a year or two. He's been here 15 freaking years. So we'll just see. I'm concerned about, you know, I'm just concerned of an overcommitment to Krejci. Like, how long are you going to go with this? 15 years. That's a long time. It's more than Ortiz was here. That's more than Edelman was here. I gave you this list last week. It's like some of these Bruins players have been here as long as any players in the history of Boston sports.
If it's a year, I don't mind it. Because, again, I think whoever they bring in is a year, right? So I'm okay with that option being Krejci. But the D core? Let me ask you this question. Is the D better or worse than when it ended the season?
Oh, it's worse.
And they were horrid at the end of the year in the playoffs.
Yes.
It was a disaster against the Islanders by the end of it. They're worse.
Mike in Norfolk, quickly for Big Jim. Go ahead, Mike.
How you doing? Jim, I had a question for you. You just talked about how Aaron Rodgers is going to be a pill in the clubhouse there for the Packers because he skipped off season and then he's not long for the team. How is that different than when Brady skipped off season and then he wouldn't get on the plane to go to Tennessee until they wouldn't franchise him? And he made it public that he wouldn't be franchised.
Well, one guy was a free agent. This other guy had term left on his contract.
Well, let's say it's not that big of a difference. I think Jim has said many times Brady didn't handle himself great at the end. So what are you saying?
Okay. I mean, I'm just saying, I think the last year, Brady was just as much of a pill. I mean, especially like when he goes on national TV. Well, he talked to the national broadcasters, I'm the most unhappy 8-0 quarterback in the history of the NFL. I mean, he pretty much spent the entire year not being himself.
I won't argue that. Yeah. No, he was a pill that last year. In 2019, it was a miserable slog, that fake 12-4 season. I'll always reference this. As early as week 3, the win in Buffalo, it looked like someone shot his dog in front of him when he went to the podium after the game, a game they won. So he didn't want to be there. The thing was broken. And so that's why I'm curious to see what it's going to be like. If it's going to be like the same thing with Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, they're idiots. They should have actually traded him because it's not going
to
work.
It's going to be a disaster. And to answer the caller's question just quickly, you know what the difference is? Five rings. That's the difference.
Well, but even if there's not much of a difference, I don't think Jim Murray has defended Brady that final year. I think he's been upfront with how he acted. Now, he may have blamed Bill for it, but be that as it may, Brady had one foot out the door and it didn't work. And the exact same thing's going to happen in Green Bay. He has got more than one foot out the door, and it ain't going to work.
It's going to be a disaster.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be a disaster.
Here is Big Jim Murray update. We come back. Sox at the deadline Friday. Bruins at the deadline tomorrow. We still have Celtics rumors to get to as well with these guys, so don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I know we had asked you a lot about Stephon Gilmore, and he's since that time has said publicly he wants to be paid what he's worth and hopes something can be worked out with the team. Where does that situation stand, I guess, from the organization's perspective?
Yeah, we're not going to talk publicly about contracts.
Thus concludes the Stephon Gilmore conversation. You have a thought on that, Maz, before I go back to the phones?
Yeah, I'm still eager to see how this thing plays out. I would hope they address it by the end of camp. I don't want it spilling into the regular season. So, you know, don't think around here. You got a lot invested in this team. You got a good defense. If Gilmore's on the field, don't screw around. Just pay the effing guy and move on. Okay, take the loss.
Okay, your thoughts on this and whatever else that you want. Will in Leominster on the Bees. Go ahead, Will.
Hey, I just had a thought on something that Pierre LeBrun put out there earlier on Twitter. Nate Schmidt, he's on the Canucks. He's a left-handed shot, maybe a second-line guy, but I love his energy. I love how he plays the game, and I don't think you'd have to get up much to get him. What do you guys think?
Okay, so Nate Schmidt is someone that apparently he was with Vegas all those years, was in Vancouver last year. Apparently he and his agent and have gotten permission from the team to seek a trade, and he's going to be moved. So there's a guy. I can't tell you that I've watched any. I was going to say a ton of Vancouver Canucks hockey. I'd have to say almost none. So I can't give you any firsthand reporting there on what Nate Schmidt looks like. I know he had a couple good years there in Vegas and was part of that sort of immediate splash that the Golden Knights made. Now he's, I don't want to say undersized. He's 6 feet 200 or 6 feet 194 is what I have in front of me, which is like I have to draw the line somewhere. And where I want to draw the line is at 200 pounds. I want the guy to be over 6 feet and over 200. So he's just, you know, not quite at that level. But if he can still play and he's available, I'll take him over Zboril and John Moore. I'll tell you that. So they have to do something. That's Sweeney's job, okay, and his scouts. Find a guy that can still play that has size and put him on your decor. And then I'll tell you after a couple months whether you did it right or wrong. That's what we do, Maz. We second guess.
Mike, they need a top four left shot defenseman.
Period.
Yeah, I mean, if he's it, then go get him.
David Main on the Red Sox at the deadline coming up on Friday. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, guys. Murray, credit to your phrasing there, the NBAification of the NFL. That's thanks to your boy LeBron Brady there. But I wanted to talk about I'm with you. Rizzo's my guy. I think he's perfect. I like the only quote talking about, you know, what his heart rate would be in the playoffs. I think that'd be huge. I know they have guys on the team still with playoff experience, but I think more of that can't hurt. I think the holdup might be that they're trying to squeeze a relief pitcher out of there, too. I don't think it's Kimbrel. I think he'd be a disaster coming back here. But I'm with you. They don't need a starter because with guys like Whitlock and probably even someone like Richards or Perez going to the bullpen for the playoffs, they'll do a thing where the starter goes 4 or 5 innings and then maybe Whitlock pitches 2 innings to get him to their 8th inning guy and then to Barnes. And I think that's how they'll do it. I don't think they're getting a starting pitcher.
Me too. On Rizzo. The comment about his heart rate won't go to, you know, like, that's true. Like, he's used to that spot.
Oh, yeah. No, he's not afraid of it. Now, he hasn't been a great postseason performer. I think his average is around 200. But honestly, I don't care. They're going to score with the guys they have in the middle of their lineup. As long as they have a healthy Bogarts, and that's iffy now, too, based on the fact that he's not in the lineup again today. That's 2 days in a row. There's something going on with that wrist, which worries me. But that aside, if those guys are healthy, Bogarts, Martinez, and Devers, you're going to be okay in the lineup.
Murray, you're getting some Brady whining today, huh?
Yeah, doesn't take much. I think a lot of it had to do with that video that he put over the weekend, too, with the jugs machine. Did you see this?
Oh, yeah.
It's fake. You believe that, idiot. Fake. Fake. I choose to believe it, just like I chose to believe those putting videos that they put up before the match.
I thought the putting thing was legit. There's no way that jugs thing was legit, but, you know, I'm over it now. Like, I'm on to you with the internet. That's, you know, this is what you do.
And as I always say, don't yell at me and don't be mad at me about Brady. Be mad at the coach who said, we're good. I'm good with the greatest player in the history of the game. I think I can find someone else in Cam Newton.
Has he compared himself to anybody today, Brady? Has he compared himself to anyone?
Here's Marcel in Woonsocket on the Bruins. Hi, Marcel.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
We're good.
Tony, Murray. I'm sorry. Every time the Bruins name is brought up, I get ingested with this in like an embryo, like in the movie Alien. That move by Cassidy in the last six and number six game of the playoffs will never go away. Never go away. That's such a sour taste in my mouth. And look, hey, Mike, Tony.
Yeah.
You're Rask, I'm Cassidy, okay? I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go, Rask says. But he knows he's hurt. So Cassidy says,
Marcel?
I know you're hurt, but you know what? You're going to go anyway.
Okay, I have to let you go with the alien ingestion.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm ingested like an embryo. Like an alien embryo.
Makes perfect sense to me. I know exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah, Felger, did you ever see the movie with Sigourney Weaver?
What he's talking about is the fact that the Vegas Golden Knights had a Vezina Trophy winning, probably Hall of Fame goalie, Cup winning goalie on their roster. And they weren't afraid to sit him in the playoffs and then trade his ass as soon as the year was over. Meanwhile, the Bruins cannot quit themselves Tuukka Rask, who has won exactly nothing. And it's like the Bruins have shown more attachment to this guy than most anyone else in the league, who is just not afraid to move on from named goalies, established goalies, Vezina Trophy winning goalies, if they think it's right for their team. You, on the other hand, can't seem to bring yourself to do it. And that's what's frustrating. That's why you get ingested by aliens' embryos.
That's a good way to put it.
That's what it is. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Please, Mass.
What the?
Felger and Mass.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
And then Nikhil's agent, Bill, had publicly sort of come out and requested a trade. I guess, what is the organization's response to Nikhil's agent's request? And are you on board? Are you okay with him? Is he on board with what's going on here, I guess?
Yeah, not to talk about contracts and personal situations.
And there's Bill on the Nikhil Harry situation. Not exactly helpful there, I would say.
No, Mr. Personality. Yeah.
So, those are two. You know, other than the quarterback thing, obviously, those are the two pieces of unfinished business. Gilmore's contract, getting him on the field, and I don't know if you consider Harry unfinished business, but he wants out. His agent, the genius, goes out and makes it public that they've demanded a trade. I don't know how that's going to work out for Nikhil Harry, but those are two things to keep an eye on as camp gets going again tomorrow. Bill not really helping you out with it anyway. But do you have a thought on that, Maz, before I go back to the phones and the people of Boston?
If Nikhil Harry is still with this team by the time they open the season, not only will I be shocked, I'll be pissed. He sucks. See you later. Bye-bye. Thanks for requesting the trade. We're going to release you.
617-779-0985. Roger in New Hampshire on the Sox. Go ahead, Roger.
Yeah, Maz, are you looking at your computer good these days? Dahlbeck has made only 7 errors all year, and Bogaerts has the same amount of errors.
Hey, Roger, I'm just going to put you on hold. Please don't go anywhere. Only 7 errors?
Yeah, here's the other thing
But tell me first, is that a big number or a small number?
I would say that for a first baseman, it's on the high side.
How many strikeouts does he have, too? What are we going to ignore his lack of production at the plate?
Okay, here's the other thing.
But only 7 errors. I mean, an error is a... that doesn't include balls in the dirt that he could pick.
Correct.
And he's not picking.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I don't give a rat's ass how many errors he has. I've watched him play. He's got hands like feet, for crying out loud. So, and the other thing is, if we're going to use metrics, let's go to the modern ones. FanGraphs says that the Red Sox have the worst defense at first base in the league.
Is that right?
Dead last.
Roger, your thoughts.
That is wrong.
Yeah, no, it
definitely
isn't.
Wrong. Look at your computer. It doesn't show that.
Look at your computer, Maz.
I did look at my computer.
Roger,
right here in front of me too, Maz.
Roger, okay. Roger, Maz's computer says they have the worst first base defense in the league.
No, they don't.
What does your computer say?
Mine says 6th worst.
6th worst? Oh, well, yeah. Well, that's good then. If it's 6th worst, at how many? 30?
Yep.
Roger, thank you.
Dahlbeck has 10 home runs, I think it is, and Rizzo has 13.
Okay, Roger, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
So I don't want to pick on Roger.
No, meaning he just learned how to log on to the computer.
Yeah, so when do you figure his computer was manufactured? If you had to guess, like, I don't know, 1980s?
Exactly.
I mean, like, what kind of computer are we talking about here? So their defense at first base, Roger, with all due respect, blows. It blows. Their defense at first base sucks. So I tell you what, take the numbers away. And I like you, Roger. You seem like a good guy. But I would say take the numbers away. Watch it. As Mike said, how many times did you actually see him pick a ball out of the dirt? Never happens. Never. Hands like feet. Okay? You get Ronaldo over there, you get a better chance of catching it with his feet.
Wayne in Weymouth has a Bruins thought for us. Go ahead, Wayne.
As far as the Taylor Hall signing, I like that, especially if he's paired back with David Krejci. Makes me feel better. He's not going to dud out like Charlie Quill did after he re-signed. Expected more and big disappointment. As far as the defense, what if we stand pat for now with McAvoy and Carlo and get through most of the season, and then we target a big defenseman that can clear somebody out in front of the net and acquire them at the trade deadline, and that will give the team a boost, kick in the ass, and make a good playoff run.
Okay, Wayne.
Something that could be on the top.
Sure. I mean, I just don't think you ever want to approach it that way. Like, we'll go into the year with this massive hole, and we'll address it at the trade deadline.
And you also potentially dent the confidence of your rookie goalie that you're, well.
Thank you.
You know, it's Swayman, not a rookie anymore, but you're putting him in there. He's going to start at least the first half of the season.
I'm pretty sure it'll be his rookie year, technically. I mean, you can do that.
You have to play
a certain amount of games. But, what you know, I mean, everyone knows, you're a young goalie.
Either way, you're kind of hanging him out to dry if that's the plan.
No. The other thing is, wouldn't you want to get McAvoy some help?
Yes.
Well, McAvoy got the crap kicked out of him that Islander series.
But that McAvoy-Greslick pairing apparently is great, advanced numbers. You know, the computers say that those two kill it, except Greslick is just not big enough. All the physicality is then put on McAvoy's shoulders. And again, the pounding he takes. Greslick, to me, is not a first-pairing defenseman. I'm sorry, he's not. I don't even think he's a second-pairing defenseman.
On a championship team, he's third.
He's a third-pairing defenseman slash power play specialist. That's what he should be. And, you know, so they have a massive hole at the top of that depth chart on the left side of their defense. And all the good available bodies feel like they're being gobbled up. So unless they got something in mind, at, you know, trade-wise, feels like they're in trouble over there. Okay? And that to me, is still a bigger issue than what they have going on at forward. And if Krejci comes back and it's Krejci, Hall, Craig Smith, and then the first line's the first line, your first six is, that's good. That's, you know, that's really good. That's good. It ain't Tampa. But it's up there, and you're fine there. But I you know, haven't you noticed yet that it's the defense that's as important as anything? As good as Tampa is up front, and as talented as they are, their D is big and good and tough, and that's why you lost to the Islanders, and that's how Montreal got to where they got to. Big tough D who aren't even that skilled, they aren't even that good, that Montreal D corps, but they're big, and they got goaltending, and so that's where you got to get better. Steve in the car on the Bs, go ahead, Steve.
So I think the Krejci signing is huge, and I think that part of the sign, well, it's not done yet, but I think there's a wink and a nod there. As to Hall signing, there's some kind of connection there because Hall would not be half the player without Krejci on that line.
I reject that, and I'm sorry, I just get frustrated every time I hear that. He won an MVP in New Jersey, and I don't even know who his center was. So what, like, you know, why do you, Krejci's the only guy you can play with? Stop with this. Now, obviously he'd rather play with him than Jack Stanika. Like, that's obvious, but I don't think it was a condition on his return. I don't, I'm sorry. I just don't. And if it was, I think that'd be stupid of the team to promise that. And it's kind of short-sighted of Taylor Hall. How long does David Krejci have left anyway? It's a year or two anyway. So Hall's got the rest of his career to think about. Sorry. All right, so we got, you know, T-minus whatever this is, 20 hours until NHL free agency begins tomorrow at noon. So we'll see. We'll see what they have in mind. We'll see if there's anything big coming down the pike. It'll be coming, you know, within a day.
They better be making a trade because it feels to me like they're whiffing on the market. They got a trade for a defenseman.
Agreed. We continue with your thoughts on that. Continue with your thoughts on baseball and the Red Sox trade deadline. Fun time of year. Again, baseball deadline Friday, NHL free agency tomorrow, NBA draft the day after tomorrow, NBA free agency Monday. All this stuff is coming down the pike. Speaking of NBA free agency and player movement there, we got a good whopper of a Celtics trade rumor or two. We got actually a couple now on the board here for the Celtics. We'll get Maz and Murray's thoughts on it after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.